For this morning's scripture reading, turn with me please to the Gospel of Luke chapter 9. Luke's Gospel chapter 9. And I got good news. We're going to finish chapter 9 here this morning. Verses 57 to the end. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. In this passage, we have three individuals forming three situations touching the concept of following Christ and being one of his disciples. On the surface, it would seem that Jesus comes across very callously, kind of cold, kind of prickly, head on. It would seem on the surface that Jesus is stern. He doesn't seem to be too welcoming or too inviting or too accepting these three individuals. The first one is found in verse 58, or rather verse 57, okay. This person seems to be awfully sincere. We meet a lot of people who come to church like this, tell us how great the service was and how great the sermon was and how many years they were anticipating to hear such preaching, lots of notes on their little notebook that they have with them. And then lo and behold, after the shaking of the hand and a God bless you and a pat on the back, they never come back. So you kind of question their sincerity. And here this man says to Jesus, wherever you go, I mean, this is like an open checkbook. This guy here is eager beaver. He wants to go wherever Jesus is going to go. And Jesus seems to put a roadblock up in front of him in verse 58. He cautions this very sincere seeker. Foxes, the birds, the bees, and the bats, they all got a place to call home. But me, the Son of Man, I have nowhere even to lay my head. I'm on the move. I have people who entertain me and welcome me into their home. I don't have a permanent address. I don't have a permanent headquarters or some denominational kingdom that is backing me. I'm an itinerant preacher. I'm always on the move. I'm always on the go. I don't spend too much time in one location. Can you handle that? See, this person comes with a lot of sincerity, a lot of desire, a lot of zeal. But see, Jesus, knowing this individual, throws up an issue that he knows this seeker would have a very hard time. Because some of the places that Jesus goes to can be very volatile, very dangerous, even unto death. The second person, Jesus says to another, simply, follow me. He gave these same words to Peter, James, and John. Did he not also use the same words to Matthew? Follow me. Come and see. Come and dine. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my dead, bury my father. And Jesus, once again, seems to be very callous and quite cold and indifferent. And he throws up another roadblock. Jesus said to this individual who's concerned about his father's cold, lifeless body, friend, let the dead bury their dead. Do you know how you have to understand that? Let those who are spiritually dead bury those who are physically dead. But go thou, preach the kingdom. Don't be hindered by the necessity to attend a funeral. Go out there and preach. Put first things first. Let those who are spiritually dead take care of your daddy's funeral. I want you to go and preach the gospel. And then this third person, he comes. Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go home and say goodbye to mommy and daddy and all the brothers and all the sisters and all the uncles and all the nieces and all the pieces and all of this and that. They're going to have a going away party. Let me first go there and say all of my howdy duties before I follow you. Sounds quite sincere. Is he not showing a little bit of love and respect for his family? Lord, I got to go home and have my last meal with mom. I got to have that last home-cooked meal that only mom can put on the table. My word, Lord. They did bring me into the world. They have paid for my college education. The least I can do is say goodbye to them. And once again, on the surface, Jesus seems to be quite callous. Quite cold, quite indifferent. He says this, and I believe, beloved, this is the crowning of all sincere seekers and all those that would go into ministry, any kind of service for the Lord. No man, no woman, having put his hand to the plow and looking back like Lot's wife, is fit for the kingdom of God. Beloved, if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, that's going to be a 24/7 endeavor. It's going to be 12 months out of the year. It's going to be 365.25 days out of a year. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ, hear me well and hear me good, is not Sunday morning for 2 hours. And probably a couple of hours on Wednesday evening in your midweek prayer and Bible study, even if your church remotely even conducts that in our new world. You are a Christian soldier on duty 24/7. You're on alert status all the time. And so putting one's hand to the plow in parallelism is likened to getting involved in that kingdom. And beloved, what happens to a farmer in the olden days when he's trying to furrow a straight line? He kept his eyes forward. But if his hands are on the plow and he's looking back all the time, his line becomes a zigzag. When it comes to a race, the race where that baton is passed to the next runner, I've been told that when you're in that particular race, you cannot afford to look back to see where the next person's behind you who's going to get the baton. You're running, and you just simply hold that baton out, and you're running with your eyes like Jesus, fixed like a flint in one direction. If you look back, you slow down when you're running. You get out of step. You get out of kilter. And so, beloved, if you're here this morning and you're hearing me either in person right now or you're hearing me maybe on the church website, here are three individuals who come across very sincere and very zealous. Their minds are made up. They want to be a disciple of Jesus. They want to get their hands on that plow. They want to get their hands dirty, roll up their sleeves for the kingdom of God's sake. And notice how in each instance, Jesus doesn't just simply throw his arms open and welcomes them with a friendly embrace and a kiss on the cheek. He purposely brings up an issue he knows that is related to them because he knows how we're wired. He's going to test that sincerity. He's going to test that zeal. And he's going to test the genuineness of their request. I want to follow you. But, there's always the but. But I got to go back and do this and do that. Beloved, for some people, when they do the but and they go back, they lose all interest in putting their hand to the plow. They'll find some excuse not to go all the way with Jesus. Once they get back home and they get back in that crowd and they get all that friendship and all that family and then they begin to count the cost and weigh the cost, that Jesus is always transitory. He goes to places that puts them in harm's way. And I got to put him first. And I can't look back. They get cold feet. And you never see him again. So if you're going to get involved in any kind of ministry, any kind of service, you got to read this portion several times, count the cost, weigh the cost, and then decide whether you are willing to follow the Lord Jesus. Well, may his word ever be praised. Amen.